Greg, we're back at the Li-Fi World Congress here, and this show is brought to you by Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com, GreggyKeystoneTech.com.
That's right. Retrofit Kings, LED products, LED fixtures, LED retrofits, everything you need.
That's right. So we're going to do a show with Dr. Harold Haas, and we're talking Li-Fi. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Dr. Haas.
Thank you. Welcome.
We're here at the World Li-Fi Congress. You're about to give a talk to the crowd here. What's the focus of your talk going to be?
The focus is about the division of Li-Fi. So as you know, we've coined that in a TED Global talk in 2011. And I would call it sort of Li-Fi 2.0, which we are entering now. So Li-Fi has made it now into the markets. So we have seen it. It's in many pilots. And that is only the start. Of that revolution. Yep. And we'll see Li-Fi 2.0 coming soon. And we are preparing that next transition at the moment in our research labs.
Now, you said the word we.
I think we is my team. I mean, it's
but you coined the term Li-Fi, did you not?
I did, yes, I did.
The father of Li-Fi.
That's what people say, yes.
I had to straighten that out.
How do you say that in German?
I don't know. There's no, it's Vater von Li-Fi. Yeah.
Perfect.
But it's, in English, a very dangerous word to use, Vater, because it's very close to far. Right.
So why is Li-Fi different than, say, near-field communication? So NFC never took off.
Yeah, because it's near field. It's a very short distance. And right. I'm going to show you today that with Li-Fi, we can transmit over 100 meter at a gigabit rate. So that's beyond near field. Would you agree?
Sure, of course.
So really, it's for the automotive, wonderful application, car-to-car communication.
You're talking about driving, self-driving technology here. You're talking about self-driving technology, car-to-car?
Yeah, for example, put it into the headlights of a car,
okay,
which is a bright white light. Would you agree?
Right, yeah,
and
sure.
And they use lasers, they use LEDs. Mm-hmm. So you could enable the car to communicate with each other using the headlights or using the taillights. Hmm. It's one application. I mean, it's a plethora of applications,
sure,
that we see. So it's not near field. It has a wide application range.
Which applications right now are earning revenue? Like, where is Li-Fi being sold to people right now?
I mean, in the automotive industry, is one. In the automation industry, in the sort of industry 4.0, where it's all about resilience to electromagnetic interference, where it's about security, where it's about sort of privacy, and also defense. Defense is a very, very interesting market, as it's providing a very unique solution in that space.
Hmm. Now, did you coin the term, or did you actually invent Li-Fi?
So basically, it was known as visible light communication, using LEDs for point-to-point communication, but at very low rate. So what we added is in saying, okay, we have a communication link, but we make it a networked communication system, a cellular communication system with bi-directional communication, but also unlocking the full potential in terms of data rate. So going sort of beyond the megabits into the gigabit region. And we have developed technologies that would allow us to move from a megabit per second to hundreds of gigabit per second. And that element of enabling high-speed communication we called Li-Fi. That's what we contributed. So light communication has been around many, many years. And what people don't know is Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor, the father of the telephone, invented the photophone, 1883, I think, invented the photophone before the telephone. He even wanted to call his second daughter photophone. Wife was against that. But he used sunlight to communicate voice over 200 meter. So using LEDs for data communication is old. It's very old. Mm-hmm. It is used in TV remote controls at home, uses infrared light, but the data rates are very low, and therefore it really couldn't take off. Mm-hmm. Only when you enable it to really compete, or not to compete, but provide a similar data rate as you are used to with radio communications, then you can talk about Li-Fi.
Why is it so prevalent or big? And we're in France, and all we hear about is Europe. I'm from the United States, Michael's from Canada. Why is it not in North America, really, at this point, Li-Fi? Or why is it not big or taking off like it is here?
You barely heard about it at Light Fair.
You haven't offered me a post in the United States. So that's
you're welcome to come on over.
I mean, it is centered here. And, I mean, we have been working here I personally have been involved in LiFi for the last 16 years. So I'm a radio communications engineer. I also have worked with Siemens in the past, but I saw around 2003-04 that we are running out of esteem in terms of radio spectrum. Mm-hmm. So we don't have enough spectrum, and then I went into
and
academia.
But lighting is basically unlimited in that
and
regard.
Lighting is basically, compared it with a one lane road, compared it to 1,000 lanes highways, that is provided with LiFi, and I basically jumped on that 1,000 lane highway and developed that as LiFi. Yes.
So the we were speaking to Dr. Brandt Pierce earlier,
my colleague.
And she explained to us that it's really the flicking off and on in the light at a pre-programmed sequence, which sends the information. It's like flickering. Is that correct? The correct description of it?
I think the only way you can convey information with light is changing the intensity.
Yes.
But it's not only on off. It
right.
is changing the intensity in a very subtle way. And that is the way we communicate. And in fact, the reason why we have these very high data rates is that we don't use on-off keying, but have a more advanced, sophisticated modulation technique that we brought to the table, which we, it's based on what is called OFDM, orthogonal frequency division multiplexing, that we basically modified to make LiFi that high speed. And we're talking about gigabit, and I've started a research project in the UK. We're looking now at a terabit.
Yes.
So, terabit. Wireless communications using light.
Let me just unpack this from my. I'm a light bulb salesman. I sell light bulbs every day.
You have a problem.
Yes. Well, I'm wondering when I'm going to be sitting down with a client saying, "Hey, and why don't you change your network from Wi-Fi to LiFi?"
I mean, this is a wonderful example, because that industry is at the same state as the photography industry. You know. The old analog photography, where you had the film rolls.
Yeah, sure.
And companies like Kodak basically went off because the business model changed.
Yeah.
And we see a similar change now in the lighting industry. The lighting industry at the moment sells light bulbs as lighting devices, right?
Yes, sure.
But with a lifetime of 20 years and more, so that business model changes. So the only way to change a business model is to diversify into different services. So in LiFi is a platform that would allow diversification, because if you have LiFi in a light bulb, then you would have a computer inside, you have memory inside, you have a processor inside, and think about the iPhone and the smartphone. It is a platform that allows communication, processing, computing, and memory. And the same components are now in the light bulb. Now you can program the light bulb, so the light bulb becomes
But we know that nobody wants to program light bulbs.
Yeah, because
they don't do anything right now. Maybe.
People need to innovate. They need to innovate and think. And that's why
the only innovation I can think of, Dr. Haas, is scary.
Why is it scary?
The only whenever I think of what could be done with LiFi is all around spying on people. It surrounds gathering information that you know from people, and that it doesn't. I don't see any major innovation. Like, I sell lighting systems every day to people,
right.
And I can't think of a really strong argument. And as a sales rep for LiFi, other than the security ones, yes, I get that. But in terms of where the innovation, I just think of spying and getting more information from people than they don't want to necessarily give up. And we're already giving up too much information in some ways.
I think the point that I think I want to make here is you enable new applications.
Right.
We enable 8K TV. We enable 16K TV. We enable sort of the VR and the AR. Mm. The reason why these glasses are so chunky is because of the rendering or the signal processing happens in front of your eyes.
Yes.
So you're not getting seasick. You need very low latency links.
Yes.
Now imagine this light, basically 3 meters above me, is providing a gigabit data rate. I have can have a thin client, a display in front of my eyes.
Yes.
And that thing there does all the processing and provides a gigabit, multiple gigabit link. That enables VR, AR. And if you have VR, AR, you enable new ways of interacting with the environment, new ways of creating businesses. It is an enabler for new applications. You enable your fridges to communicate. You enable your washing machines. You enable your kettles. You enable all your devices to be connected to the internet in order to save us more. Make our life easier, so we can concentrate on the fun parts.
Did you see, what was it, Dr. David Pasig? That's his name. Did you see his presentation this morning? Did you get a chance to take it?
I did come in very
He's
late
a futurist, from, right? Okay. So he's talking about, you know, the way he's talking about that these devices are going to become conscious in some way. Like we're going to imbue them with a consciousness. And the Li-Fi is fundamental to that? You think the Li-Fi
is? It is. And it is part of my talk as well. Is everybody talks about machine learning and AI. Yes. Everything gets intelligent. Basically, the research is about replicating the brain.
Yes.
Now, what is a brain here at that location? If you take a brain and put it on a table, what does it do for you?
Nothing.
Exactly. If you don't build a nervous system around the brain,
sure,
it's meaningless.
Yes.
And the biggest problems that we see, the problem happening, is in data centers. At the moment, data centers can't be scaled because the amount of cables, the amount of connectivity limits sort of the scalability.
The heat of the cable.
The heat
the
and all the stuff. So that's the problem where you see that already, that you need to think about the nervous system if you want to really go into the fourth industrial revolution. If you really want a society that is driving innovation rather than piggybacking on other regions that have basically been able to scale up quicker, that you need to take this opportunity and move forward.
Hmm. And Li-Fi is stronger signal than Wi-Fi. Is that proven? The signal, the actual...
The data rate. Stuff? I mean, the data rate is not... In radio, you have 300 gigahertz of spectrum, mm-hmm, but that means all radio in all your defense and so on.
Sure.
In Li-Fi, we have 1,000 times more. So yes, it is scalable in terms of data rates. And as I said to you, a terabit per second is our next sort of harbor.
So you talked about some general industries that it would be successful in. Is there one specific application or project you can point to where you guys have done it and it's had great success and it's still operating today?
I mean, there's many pilots, when 130 pilots around the world. Okay. So we have an application in a classroom, for example, enabled teaching, where it's secure, it is sort of high data rate, it's very reliable, providing very, very sort of, robust, reliable communication. If you talk about Wi-Fi at the moment, it's there, but it's very, the service, the quality of service is not guaranteed. It's very sort of depend where you are, if you are basically behind a wall or not. Mm-hmm. With Li-Fi, you can guarantee a very sort of steady and robust delivery of the service and guarantee a gigabit or 10 gigabit and not hope that maybe in 10% of the time you get your 10 gigabit. It's really delivering that sort of robustness of quality of service as well as providing the higher data rates.
Is it a classroom that all the students maybe have iPads or something?
It's, okay, it's a classroom with eight lights, with eight Li-Fi access points.
Yep.
There's laptops, they have a dongle, and they have a robust sort of link, and they can move and they can turn around, and there's handover, and it's providing very, very high speed communication in that classroom. And what we also have seen is that because that classroom and the pupils there won't occupy Wi-Fi, the neighboring classrooms saw a surge in the data rates that used Wi-Fi still, because of the offload of traffic from Wi-Fi to Li-Fi. And that's an effect we always see. People say, are you competing with Wi-Fi? No, we don't. Li-Fi helps provide better Li-Fi because of less contention that you would have in the system.
You ever seen the movie The Matrix?
Unfortunately not, because I have to devote a lot of time to get Li-Fi to the world.
So, but I think Li-Fi is the Matrix. You know, like living, you're in the internet now, like literally the ones and zeros are coming down at you. Like you're going to be like walking around in the internet.
Yes.
And at what point
that's exactly it. And that's exactly my point as well, is the photonics, so light in a fiber, has done a wonderful job.
Yes.
But it is put in a cage.
Yes.
And we want to free the photon.
Okay, so now you know where I'm going with this, okay? Because here's what I want to ask you. At what point will we not need the receiver anymore?
We always need a receiver.
What if they could connect it right to my brain? This is a receiver, right? These are Li-Fi receivers right here.
It's a receiver.
This is a receiver.
Yes.
Right?
But you still need to decode it. You need to have an algorithm that takes the...
But why couldn't it come from the Li-Fi? Does it have to come in an implant in me, or could just the zeros and the ones know everything?
Yeah, but you need to... Something need to decode the ones and zeros. You need to have a detector.
Like
your eye takes a signal, but then you need to decode the fluctuations and decode it as data.
Do you think that's coming, that people will implant these things into their bodies?
Maybe in the next 100 years, But no, I mean, not that far, but it's a vision of in situ communication as well, which is perhaps a a way to
in situ.
Yeah, so inside the body.
Ah, in situ. Yes, interesting. Huh.
Yeah, now when you go back just on this classroom, it kind of hit me too, is let's say there's 8 lights in there right now.
Yes.
Do you need every one of them to have Wi-Fi capability?
Or that is correct, yes. And they would send, they would send independent data, so they would act as independent data transmitters.
Just that much stronger to have 8. Yeah. I mean, you could do less, but I mean, it wouldn't be.
That's the other big advantage. With Wi-Fi, you would have one access point in the classroom, right?
Yeah, you have less service over here than you have over there or whatever.
If you put in, they would interfere. Yeah. Mm. With light, you have a very sort of confined light cone that covers a certain area, and then you could have multiple of these light cones. So you replicate the capacity provided in one cone multiple times in a room. And that's another way how you can scale the capacity per area if you want.
Hmm.
That's good.
I know you have another talk to give, Dr. Haas. I'd love to have you for longer, but you could probably want to prepare. You got 10 minutes before it. You're at 4:40, right?
I think so, yes.
Yes. Thank you very much for being a guest on the Get a Grip on Lightning show. Any final predictions of the future? Make it crazy if you want. What's going to happen?
I think we will have Wi-Fi in everything around us.
How long?
In every table, in every chair, in every wall, in every mirror, in every shoe, in every piece of cloth, within the next 10 years.
Boom.
Woo.
You heard it here.
That's been the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, recorded live from the trade show floor at the World Wi-Fi Congress. Greggy, say hi to Keystone Technologies. Go to KeystoneTech.com, Greg.
That's right. Hi to Keystone. Thanks for being here. Great discussion today.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, the Lord is there to find you.